there are some life moments that just slow down when they happen. How many of us have been in the kitchen fumbling a glass plate when we suddenly watch it, like in slow motion, crash to the ground, and yet we feel so helpless? Even though it's slowed down, we can't seem to be able to stop it. Or that moment when you hear difficult news, and your body and mind and spirit needs to take time to soak it all in. It's like time gives us this extra space that we need to adjust to what we have just heard. And then there are those moments that need to be slowed down. Like when a tennis ball hits the ground on the line or near the line at a crucial point in the match, and we're not sure whether it's in or out. We have to slow it down so that we know who gets the point. Or there's a day in our calendar every year that we remember that God does not abandon us, that light has come and keeps coming, that hope, no matter how incredulous it may seem, is near, and that infinity is present to us in all living goodness. And so today we begin the slow motion season of Adventus in the Latin for presence or arrival. It's like we slow Christmas down by 4 weeks because it is that crucial to us. The birthing of Christ, the breaking in of light again and again in and among us. Now, Matthew's gospel tells us that even though we can prepare for it, it always takes us by surprise. For Christ's coming is in most unexpected ways and times and places. It's a strange reading. Matthew uses what we call apocalyptic language. That is kind of code language. It's the language of a people who are in a dangerous time, and they use a kind of language to speak about the powers without letting the powers know that they are speaking about them. It's kind of like the Cockney rhyming slang of the 19th century in the East End of London. It reached the United States and even the West Coast of Australia in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So, you know, when you wanted to talk about the Queen, you would say baked bean, because you didn't really want her to know what was going on. Or if you wanted to say you're going to phone someone, you would say dog and bone. Or you wanted a skive, you'd say duck and dive. You wanted to talk about your shoes, you'd say ones and twos, right? And some of that's actually filtered into our language. And so Matthew, in this code-like way, talks about the times of Noah. Metaphor, code for something going on. He references two people in a field, two people at a mill. One taken, one left, code for something else going on. And he talks about a thief in the night. This is a passage that has left many in some traditions with post-traumatic stress disorder, wondering if they would be taken or left behind. But as we look at it metaphorically, we realize that each of these images, each of these codes are teaching us about this waiting, this unexpected way that Christ breaks in. For if you're anything like me, and you're struggling with forgiveness and holding a grudge and holding something in your heart, and oh, you want to let it go, and you ask God, please help me. And years go by, maybe. And then suddenly you notice that your heart has softened, that something has opened up and the light of Christ has indeed come. Not in our timing, not in the ways that we expect, but in these moments of grace as we open to the light. Well, for me, it's that time when I can't let something go. And I need to surrender. And I say all the right words, and I do the right prayers, and I'm trying to surrender. And then something changes, and the light comes in unexpectedly, and my heart is softened and surrendered. When Christ comes, like we read and heard sung in Mary's song, neighbor will make right with neighbor. Justice will be dispensed. The mighty will be cast down, and those of us insecure will be raised, and our hungry spirits will be satisfied when Christ comes near. My friends, in the religious institution of church, we so need the light of Christ. Often we talk about sharing the light out there. This Advent, we're going to be asking God for his light to come among us here. Those who have experienced religious corruption in our time and in previous times may have little hope for communities of faith. Reading the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he was jailed during the end of World War II in Germany, he had experienced Christianity used for the destruction of others. And he wrote this: "You would be surprised and even worried by my theological thoughts and the conclusions that they lead to. What is bothering me incessantly is the question what Christianity really is, or indeed who Christ really is for us today. The time when people could be told everything by means of words, whether theological or pious, is over. We are moving towards a completely religionless time," he writes. "People as they are now simply cannot be religious anymore. Even those who honestly describe themselves as religious do not in the least act up to it. And so they presumably mean something quite different from religious." He is not alone. Postmodern scholar writing in our time, John Caputo, a man of faith, writes this: "Religion is rotting from the inside. It is the ugliness of spirit of people in these religious institutions that is becoming a more effective argument against religion than anything the new atheists can come up with from without." And yet, as a man of faith, he adds this: "Is it possible to imagine a Christianity that appeared incognito, under a pseudonym, taking both believers and unbelievers by surprise when it finally removes its disguise? Imagine if we came to worship not knowing what to expect, to be surprised, to be woken up." And perhaps that's the good news of Advent, that we are reminded that like a thief, Christ is actually staking this joint out and he's going to break in. There was and is and will be a break in because God is not interested in our loss prevention programs, but in saving us from ourselves, in saving us from our culture, and saving us even from our certainties about God's story itself. God shows up Not when we think we're all prepared, but often through the things we don't expect. Oh, I know it so well. On those days when I wonder how everything's going to come together and holy jack, it happens. And God is the only suspect. Friends, we need the light. We need to open to the light. It's a lovely metaphor that in the field and at the mill, there are two people. And there are two people who are dissimilar. One taken, one left. We don't even know what that means. And yet they have differences. And what they are being invited into is to keep each other awake, to keep each other surprised and alert. During the season, we can click into our usual way. 3 weeks before Christmas, we do this. 2 weeks, we do this. You know, we've got our services that roll here, and we just keep going like a treadmill. How will we keep each other awake to the unexpected break-in of Christ among us? Let us be anam cara to each other, that Irish Gaelic soul friend who helps reveal the hidden intimacies of our lives. So in this slow motion season of Advent, I invite you, I invite us to open to the light. What will we surrender? What will we leave behind? Come, human family, let's walk in the light of God. Endless light that dazzles the darkness in our hearts. Amen.